Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with mini-series releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Yee-haw! Our heroes are in Wild West Faerun. Our heroes have made their preparations and the siege is about to begin. Sheriff Quinny asked if he could leave the world with Butthole when the fight was over. Moss revealed she had her own sacred scroll, and Butthole became a Wild West general. Can our heroes survive the coming battle and get Butthole back to Dumb Faerun? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
The sun has set on the town of Tomb Slab, a notorious, no, we've established not notorious, just a random piece of shit town in the middle of nowhere, but piece of shit town that has people in it who care about it, because you know what, to some people might just be a little rundown garbage town in the middle of a garbage world is home and something worth fighting for and something worth defending. And in this case, something likely worth dying for. In this godless world, a pastor stands with the town. A deputy, now sheriff, has found new purpose in this place, a place she cares about and a place she will not see fall. And a desperado who's done some truly heinous things in his time may finally find a cause worth standing for. All this comes to a head as the night drags on and the town waits in tense silence for low noon, midnight. The moon is a brilliant white this evening. It's a cloudless sky, and it casts the entire town in an eerie, eerie soft light, punctuated by lanterns, torches, the glow of Polka's gross Old West cigarette atop a building. Safe distance from the mortars, of course.
He's lighting them with it. they actually, I mean, old-fashioned gunners used to actually smoke cigars specifically so they could light with them on an ongoing basis. They would just keep it lit. Anyways, random effect.
Yeah, but that sounds like a real, like, twist my rubber arm, like, oh, yeah, no, I just got to keep ordering beer to keep the place in business.
Sorry, we're going to have to put more cigars on the budget.
Oh, no, jeez. Oh, boy. Okay, so where have you all positioned yourselves? We've talked about what the general setup is, so we'll say that has all happened. But one thing we didn't talk about is where you guys are. So where are you going to be?
Butthole will be near the fortifications. He'll probably be kind of like inside the building that leads the tunnel there. Like he'll be at that door because his like he's got some weird powers just to functionally save like this now as people. But like his rally lets him give up to 6 creatures temporary health points if they can hear him. And sound mind can help people stay calm. So I think he'll be focused on rallying the troops because he's dog shit at shooting, and if this comes down to hammer time at the fortifications, things have gone wrong and he can run 10 feet and get there, so he'll be trying to not get shot and keep people shooting and alive.
Yep. Quinny, whereabouts will you be?
Quinny's gonna want to be mobile because after days and days of letters and innuendo, it's like yeah I get it, you know who I am and where I am, so come and get me. So I think he's going to be a lure for a lot of the traps to be set off. So he's going to probably start near the town outskirts to lead enemies in. He'll be on Goblin Jr.
Okay, great.
So we'll have left like a hidden path that only he's aware of to get through the trenches and shit. So there's a way for him to get to the fortification and clear.
Cool. And Laura, where will Moss be?
I think I need to be... I'm a little bit torn. I'm like, man, should I be like on the roof overseeing things or should I be among the people? And I think we need all hands on deck. So I think I would need to be on the ground because that's where I'm more of a melee fighter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think I need to be on the ground. If I can be at the Gatling gun.
Sure, with the carts with the Gatling gun?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we say you're leading the Rock Seeker Dwarf ambush? You're the one who's going to swing in behind to
that makes
when
sense.
It's time.
Yeah.
All right, so Quinny's the lure, you're the ambush, and I'm holding the line with the troops.
Great. The evening stretches on interminably. It's that awful readiness state where you know they're coming, but they haven't arrived yet. And so it is with a grim relief when you see kind of the first light of torches in the dark. The Tingly Boys are somewhere between a gang and an army, something that Leanna had warned you about. And as they come up over the North Ridge, they pause for a moment at kind of Gandalf style at the top of the ridge. And in the darkness, you can see the golden glint of angel eyes, Archie Tingler's gaze kind of sweeping the town. There's rumors in the darker taverns and bars of the dark deal that Archie made in order to get those glowing gold eyes. None of you put too much stock in those myths, but having seen a farting cleric, the legends are somewhat more believable now and somewhat more concerning.
I was going to say, you don't put stock in them, and no one told Butthole.
There is a shout from the ridge that you recognize as the dulcet tones of Red Reggie Tingler. Who just yells, okay, you all had your chance. We gave you 3 days and you fuckers didn't leave. So now it's tingle time. And you hear Archibald just say, I have asked you not to say that. And with that, a collective cry goes up from the mounted warriors. And there's a sound of gunfire as they charge down the hill towards the town. So,
I'll signal those mortars, baby. Give that wave.
Great. The mortars will open fire. I'm going to get my dice somewhere more convenient. I haven't had to roll in a while, so that's nice. Not since I was a giant spider. Two giant spiders. Mortar fire opens up. One is a direct hit. Sort of fires off into the distance. Polka is a big boy, so he's able to kind of manhandle the mortars. But Yumi too, as you'll recall, is more of like a rogue. So she fires and the kick kind of knocks her back a bit. Let me see here. Five bodies soar up into the air in various states of dismemberment, blasted by the artillery shot. There are a lot more than that, but it's not a bad start. A bunch of people get blown up. You hear someone say, like, "Oh no, looks like they got heavy weapons." Archer just says, "That's no business of ours. We're here to clear them out. Besides, I want that Quinny statue." The charge continues. Is there anything else you're doing or just hitting them with mortars at this range? They will arrive in one more round.
When he has his rifle out and he's at like the mouth of the opening, are they within range? Can he just start
for a rifle,
cracking
yeah,
off shots? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say Butthole will be like probably walking amongst the town folks, just being like, "Moonhammer's going to look after you. We're all doing the right thing. But remember, don't fire until." And they like kind of where Quinny is, I imagine, is where like effective rifle range is for a collection of people who've been shooting guns in a combat sense for a day. So it's more just like keeping them calm, keeping them in the barricade, reminding them not to charge, because eventually they're going to get stupid and want to do that.
And we're just holding until they get by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Great.
Would you like me to roll for this rifle?
Yes, please.
Shot?
Oh, and the snipers would open up at this point, I imagine, Tom, because they'd be effective with rifles, whatever would be appropriate.
I was going to say, because they're in the sheriff's office midway into town, they actually have a bad angle for this. Once they get a little bit closer, they'll be able to open up.
Cool. And they'll be watching for flankers.
Yep.
It's been like this all weekend. So that's a 4 on the die.
Oh, buddy.
So yikes. Forget the modifiers.
You snap a shot off. It kills a guy, but there are so many that it doesn't matter.
Well, I still feel good about it then.
Yeah, so you killed that's great.
The least important man in the whole army.
A guy falls off his horse, and Red Reggie is riding by him, and he just reaches up and says, "Come on, Reggie, bring me with you." And Reggie leans down and just cracks out that guy's golden tooth and tramples him with his horse as he rides past.
We haven't seen that guy in a while.
I mean, he's got to show up every so often. He's my kite man. Hell yeah.
He's your cabbage guy.
Yeah.
He's your owls in Futurama.
Fuck, I love those owls. Oh, no. The mortars open up again. Pokaz misses. Unfortunately, Yumi 2's explodes, blowing her to bits, knocking Poka and his mortar from the roof as he kind of does a leaping crash through the awning of Uncle Jim Jim's Sarsaparilla Saloon. It would seem the munitions from the war have not aged well, which kind of makes sense.
Tom, come on, man.
I mean,
I rolled a one.
I know, you're not supposed to roll ones when you're rolling like on our side.
Yeah,
Laura, the real lesson here is don't militarize the police. They don't know what they're doing and it ends bad for everyone involved.
I'm so glad our podcast finally solved that. That's great. I look forward to seeing that policy implemented immediately.
Sweeping change.
Defund the Greywater Mercenaries is our slogan.
And the detective agency.
But I will honestly say, as a character who owns 22.5% of them, I think they should get more funding.
In your world.
Yeah. Just the Greywater Mercenaries, not these detectives.
Yeah, great.
The syndicate. Honestly, that stays on message in regards to corruption is bad.
With that, they've reached the town. Led by Red Reggie, they're charging into, and by led by, I mean he's got like a solid meat shield of 4 guys in front of him. But the bandits roll in. One of them grins in the light of the Molotov cocktail he's holding, and he whips it into the nearest building, which explodes super hard. Who wants to roll damage for this?
Laura, she seemed the most bothered by the one, so let's give her a win.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me 2d12, please.
2d12, all right. That's a 12 and a 6.
Very nice.
Great rolls.
The long abandoned Tyler, what's the name of this bar?
This bar? Mm-hmm. This bar is the empty chamber. And it's just got a picture of like the six holes of a revolver.
Great. Nice. The empty chamber, long notorious in Tomb Slab for watering down its ale, bursts into brilliant flame and engulfs a number of the invaders and their horses. There's just that classic, like, you know, close up of like a Tom Arnold type who's riding with them, who's just like, damn, what'd you put in that? a bunch of people get blasted away. Now they've ridden into your kill zone, so you can all open up real good.
Yay! I'll roll
for the snipers. I assume, Laura, you're likely waiting one more round for them to get properly into the middle of downtown before.
I would like, it would be nice if they were just like, as soon as they're engaged, then that will be like when we roll in and join the fray. Start.
Yeah, we need them pincered in between. Otherwise, it's
exactly.
Right. Otherwise, we're in L. There's not a whole lot of L tactics.
Plus, I want them like maximally distracted too.
Cool. So they ride in. The snipers open fire. Managed to kill a few. The townsfolk also start opening fire with their ready aim fires. Just like offloading. And again, this is a classic, like, bandits come to town. So like, it's everyone like smashing out windows and shooting through them. And the bandits kind of riding and starting to like hop off their horses and take cover. Obviously you've got barricades and stuff. And there's boxes and things. So also they're using like their dead comrades and stuff. It's become a full on bandits outside, heroes inside kind of shootout. But they've now fully entered the town. What do you do?
Queenie's going to move to the next point to lure them further in.
Okay. Let's all roll initiative just for ease of my brain, if you would mind.
13 initiative for Queenie.
Okay.
3.
But I'll just wait for it. Wait for it. They ride by.
They've already started shooting, but he's used to like crossbow range where like arrows really don't go as far as rifles. So he was waiting for like effective arrow range. They've all shot. The whole battle's happening around him.
Moss, where are you? Okay, one moment. Great. Quinny, you are top of the round.
All right. So I'm going to move back further and crack another shot off. I'm trying to aim for these familiar faces, you know. I'm trying to shoot Reggie, mm-hmm. shoot Angel Eyes.
Tyler, can I ask like if you're doing anything to like lure them specifically? Just because it's like dark out, like are you doing like a fun dance like fellas?
I am dressed up in drag as a woman and saying yoo-hoo, and I've got like a handkerchief.
Evan Klein from Wild West.
Because that's your unrelated prostitute outfit disguise that we talked perfect. About. So yeah, you're in drag. Sold.
I think this Queenie is a little less mouthy mid-combat as I've kind of done previously. So again, I think it's more like sharp whistles and stuff like that. Like just, hey, I'm over here kind of whistles like that and stuff like that.
Right. Okay. So yeah, we'll say you're definitely not in drag then, because I feel like that's a modern Quinny and not a like grimdark Quinny. But yeah, so like popping up and like, again, given how many of these guys there are and how these showdowns in Western movies always go, there's always like disposable bandits. So I think it's like whistle, you who shoot a guy, everyone's like, he's over there. And then like run.
Yeah.
Run,
yeah.
Run yeah. Okay, great. So yeah, leading them further in, Reggie, Archibald is hanging back, obviously, but Reggie is kind of in the heat of it, leading the charge. Which brings us to the Tingle Boys. Tingly Boys, they're going to open fire on assorted townsfolk. Oof. Okay. Ruh-roh. They kill about five of your 30 townsfolk.
Woof.
I rolled a 20 in addition to some other stuff. So they just start again, like the townsfolk are fighting well. But at the end of the day, these are hardened criminals and they're used to this kind of thing. So, you know, you see one of the goblin ranchers from the Old Wolf Ranch just kind of like pop up with a shotgun, and his head just gets blown out the back as the bandits just laughing and being generally evil, ruckusy are shooting them. They truly enjoy their work, which is, you know, something good about these horrible people. But unfortunately, the town numbers are dwindling. And I will roll a panic check for the townsfolk who are... okay, they're good for now. They passed their save.
Great.
Morale checks, baby. Bringing us to Greywater. So Polka gets up and takes his crossbow off the back. He even in this world, he carries a massive sort of exploded crossbow. Largely because he can equip it with different types of ammo, which are valuable in any dimension. So he just like spits out the cigarette, locks in one of those like Rambo arrows that has like the big blocky thing on the bottom. And he's like, blow up my partner, will you? And he launches an exploding arrow into the middle of the mob and kills five of them.
Nice. But,
great. Bring us to who the hell? Oh, townsfolk. So who the hell is T? Townsfolk open fire. They only hit with one, unfortunately. They're a little bit shaken by that initial assault. They only kill one guy. Not the best. Bring us to
nice Moss. Training, Quinny. Sorry.
Moss says to herself,
"Wait, yeah. How dare these people you trained overnight the day of an attack not be ready?"
Yeah, exactly. A real sheriff could have done it. So I
says the lady who turned down the badge.
I know. Shut up. I think it's at this point would be as we're like moving in to block their exit.
Mm-hmm.
So can I take that as our movement? Like, is that good enough?
Yep, totally.
Okay.
I mean, you're rolling carts in. It's not like it's a thing you were ready to do in prime.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a hard action.
And I'm just like I'm ready to like plant and shoot basically at their backs.
So light them up with the gun.
All right. So I get four, right?
That's correct.
So that's a 7, dirty 20, 11 and 5.
I think you know what I'm going to say. Only one of those goes through.
Yeah, of course. Of course. 4 points of damage.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad. You drop, you drop 4 people.
Oh shit.
But cool.
It's a big group.
It's a very
I know. Shut
group.
Up.
Yeah, the shooting continues. Butthole, the ambush has been sprung. The chain gun is in place. Gatling gun is opening fire. It's the full trap has been sprung. So now we're starting to descend into like proper chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, this is a weird question. It's technical and I hate those kind of questions, but it matters anyways. Temporary hit points. Will that bring back any of our dead people where they like got knocked out and I can conk them back up to like 4 dead gone?
I'm adapting the
mob I figure you're doing rules. Like horde rules. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
So I will.
It's also fine if I just can't affect that. I'm cool.
No. I don't hate that. I'll tell you what. If you can roll me a successful medicine check, then I'll let you bring back one person for every 2 points you spend.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see what happens then, because I get 1d4 plus 3 for up to 6 people. So we'll just see. It'll come down to basically the medicine check per person will be our question. Because I can bring back, I can give up to 6 people temporary hit points. So I'll just say the injured will be our category.
Yeah, totally.
That is a 16.
Okay, yep, good enough. So how many temporary hit points can you give?
I will be giving, that's a decent roll, 7 temporary hit points, because so I rolled the highest I can on a D4 for six, nice. For up to 6 people. So each of them would receive 7 points per each person down.
So the way we're going to play this, given that you're dealing with like pretty grievous injuries to pretty soft people, is for every 2 points of health you could give, you can bring 1 person back. So you can bring back a total of 3.
Total of 3? Cool. Okay, so yeah, I'll bring back 3 of them then, just farting out my hands behind the lines, being like, you're doing great, everybody's doing great. Oh, I think he died of old age. I can't do that one. Okay, so next.
The guy whose head exploded, less easy to bring back.
His head exploded, and the other one's like an 85-year-old man who had a heart attack. And I'm like, that one's old age. That was actually not this. Nobody shot him.
Yeah.
I prefer the assessment that his head exploded and you say he died of old age.
I mean, both of them. It's different kinds of old age. His head got too old. It happens. Overripe fruit. Everybody keep fighting. We're doing great. And just keep fighting, doing great. Must do better.
Okay, great. And then I rolled. Jesus, what? Oh, man, my shorthand sucks for this. What the hell is that? We've got.
Sorry, I told you to shut up, Tyler. I'm getting very into this.
Did you actually shut up?
You told me to shut up. I was Tom the one who said, says the lady who turned out her badge. You're like, shut up.
I told both of you to shut up.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah,
that's I'm not good. Sorry, you Tom. Right.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry. I got some devil's bargains that'll fucking balance the scales out right quick.
I don't understand.
I don't. Oh, just ways to punish Laura. I don't know who this is. So
Laura's actions have upset me. Shut up, Ryan.
I'm lashing okay out at the safe person.
Yeah, I'm not taking any of it personal. You all can hate me. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know who this is, so I'm going to drop them from the order. Fuck.
Was it Archibald?
Hopefully it's one of theirs.
It was the letter L. And I don't know what the fuck that
Leanna?
Nah, it's cool. Archibald.
Lanarian. That's your Rife Elves?
Yeah, but they're not in this combat. I think I just fucked up and split the townsfolk up. That likely meant the snipers. So let's roll for them. Yeah. Lanarian is like coming. He's just not here yet. don't you worry. Oh man, the snipers rolled trash. But one of them hit, so that's okay. Oh fuck. They hit real good. There's just that one you know, like in any of these movies, there's the one, like in I guess The Walking Dead would be like Andrea, who just like really takes to sniping. So it's just like Kayla Cattleshield being like, cut off my fucking wife's hand. Blam! Like, that's my favorite fucking hand. Blam! And just like picks off 7 of them in a rapid flurry of sniping.
And Butthole just yells at Quinny and Moss. He's like, I told you she wasn't a problem.
Leanna's just like, you're doing very well, dear. Here's more ammo. Just like fistful of bullets. They continue to shoot. Cool. Top of the round. I roll some dice. Okay. So top of the round, Quinny.
I make my way into one of the abandoned buildings to try and, you know, bungle these guys up. and I start shooting out through the windows to entice some idiots to come in after me.
Okay. Go ahead and roll your attack, please.
It's a 5.
you shoot out a window and kind of snap off a couple rounds. Unfortunately, they go wide of the targets. You already shot Gold Tooth, so I can't have you shoot him again.
Yeah. Although that would be very on brand.
I was going to say, you accidentally ran into a building where the windows are just really high up and you're a halfling, so you have to shoot up and out the windows like the wall's too high.
Yeah,
so you can't
you're doing that Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead aim that makes no sense where you like point your gun down. Well, point it looks awesome, but just would break your wrists. You're kind of like, no. At which point you hear a voice yell, he's over here, and the sound of a door being booted in. Next up, Tingly Boys, fuck these townspeople. Only one of them hits, which is good news for the townspeople, until I rolled a 10, which is less good news for the townspeople. So townsfolk are taking heavy fire. I'll offer you guys as the defenders an option. The townsfolk can take cover means they will take half damage, but will be unable to act next round, or they can take full damage and continue to act.
So 10 would be how many of them would die with 10 damage? Is it like damage as a person?
I mean, this is like metagaming table talk, but yeah, basically 10 of them go down, but you wouldn't know that. It's basically, you see the tingly boys start like hooting and hollering and opening fire. Would you yell for them to duck and cover or to hold the line?
Tom, can they run next turn if they duck and cover?
No, if they're ducking and covering, it's literally just like hit the deck, bullets, bullets, bullets. They'll be pinned down until the next round. In the next round, they can run. They will also have more cover next round because they're ducking and covering. So
yeah, logically, yeah, Butthole would yell it. Yeah, we got to keep these people alive. He's trusting the chain gun and the rock seekers to shoot him in the ass. That's the point.
Moss, what would you yell? It's the best 2 out of 3 situation.
100% cover.
Yep.
I mean,
Quinny?
Yeah.
I mean, that's her two, but Quinny would have, logically, Quinny wouldn't have told them to run until he saw the losses. So, okay.
So they do hear it from the 2 of the 3. So that's fine. Also, I think it kind of tracks that like Quinny actually isn't really a leader of men. And a lot of, I think based on all the movies I watched and prep for this, most bandit leaders in these sorts of Western vibes are like decent at leading and inspire a lot of like loyalty through fear and coercion, but are also 100% like A, incredibly capable in and of themselves, which lets them control the gang, and B, very happy to just be like, oh, the gang can be a pincushion while I get away. Watched 310 to Yuma, and like Russell Crowe's just constantly like, yeah, it's fine. Just, you guys die for me. I go now. Goodbye. Also, that movie. Woof. Things I do for my country.
You could have watched The Quick and the Dead.
I should have actually. I should have. Well, I'll watch that later when I go.
Cartoon of a movie.
I mean, look, Sam Raimi gets his hands on a Western, I'd expect no less. Just give me that sweet, sweet emo dance number every time. All right.
What happens next?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown! Episodes are available now!
Listen, I need a brain break too, and I can't just be quiet while another character's acting, so shut up!
I deserve that.
Now you tell me to shut up, Tom.
Yeah, I was telling Tyler.
Shut up, Tyler.
You're fine, Laura. I'm going to get you through the rules later. Okay, so the townsfolk just like throw themselves to the ground. 5 of them are still killed, but their casualties are considerably lower than they would have been. As the Tingly Boys just start like opening up, like they're just fanning the hammer and just blasting out windows and walls. It's an orgy of violence now. Greywater, Polka sees this and is like, fuck. And he throws himself through the window, of the saloon and, takes cover himself. Just kind of yells out to you guys like, there are a few more of them than we thought.
I mean, yeah, we'd keep shooting them, but we're probably going to head for the church in a minute.
What? And then the firing continues. Bringing us to the townsfolk. So they are ducking and covering. That's going to be their action this round, but they'll be able to, I think, pretty much auto run for the church next round. I don't think you need to order them that when the buildings start to like bend under the amount of ammo being dumped into them. That's a pretty good indicator to get the fuck out of Dodge. Literally. Moss.
I think I'm just going to keep firing.
Yeah, I'd say you safely have one more round of being able to do this before they descend on you.
Yeah. Because it's also like, try to take out people so they don't take out the townsfolk. Mm-hmm. Fuck, man. It's 2 11s, 18 and a 21.
Yeah, those two will go through for sure.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yikes. 3 plus 5, 8 damage.
Okay, not bad, not bad.
From combined two hits, nasty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, just consistent numbers on this mob is the way to go.
Yeah.
Butthole.
Alrighty, Butthole is going to try to keep these idiots alive so we can send them down because he swore an oath he would protect this town. So he's like, yeah, I'm doing great. And he's just got his hammer and he's standing like inside the door that leads to like the church run. And he's like, we're going to go in a minute. But first of all of you who went down know that Moonhammer loves you. Please don't be too old. He yells. He'll cast his rally. Great. He's got four, so we can bring back two of the five who went down okay. This round.
Honestly, you're keeping many more of these people up than I thought you would. Good work.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. That number we're down a total of five people.
You're down a total of five. You're at 25 great. From 30 right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So, at the end of the round, you hear a whistle high above your heads and a screech. And you know how people always bitched about how the Fellowship of the Ring should have used the Eagles to just like skip a step? The High Leaves kind of got that down. From descending and blocking the moon come a number of war eagles that swoop down low across the rooftops. And elven bandits leap down onto the roofs. They as they drop, they open fire with their rifles and Kayla takes a bullet through the back of the head and falls forward off the roof. Liana like lets out a war cry and does that thing where you just like stab someone with bullets and then gets an axe to the chest herself as the snipers are picked off the rooftops by the elves. And lo and behold, the elves have entered the fray. They are considerably fewer in number, but are equally dedicated to taking Quinny and ripping down this town. So the elves have entered the initiative order. Cool. Top of the round. Quinny, the door gets booted open next to you, and you turn to see Red Reggie Tingler with a shotgun lowered at you.
And I have a shotgun also.
Excellent. quick hands. Go ahead and roll me a dexterity save.
I need to retire this d20. Plus my dex save modifier, so that's a total of 5.
Ooh, yikes, man.
Red Reggie blasts you at point blank for 10 damage. The buckshot, luckily being a halfling, kind of misses you by a bit because he's aiming for like center mass. But you get a spray across the face. Bloodies you up pretty badly. And you get thrown back against the wall. He just looks at you and says, tough son of a bitch, ain't you?
I'll spit blood and go, yep, and I'll pull the trigger.
Great. Roll your attack.
Hot diggity shit. That's going to be 17 to hit.
That'll hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
1d10 plus 3 for the shotgun. Six.
You fire back and you catch him like in like squarely in the side of the chest. And he just like lets out a cry of rage just goes, retreat, retreat, and stumbles back out the door. Just as we've established, Reginald's in all dimensions are cowards. So he stumbles out the back. Not that he's running away. He's just like falling back to cover. You hear him slump against the side of the door and start reloading. And he's just like, you're really going to let all these folks die, Sheriff?
And I'll just say, step back through the doorway and ask me again.
Amazing. Tingly boys, they're going to fire one on the High Leaves and one on the townsfolk. They will hit the High Leaves, not the townsfolk. they don't get many of them, though. But you hear a lot of like, hey, back off. Get your own town. as the gunfire begins. Draywater, Polka will just kind of like crack his neck twice and just mutter like, never was a church going fella. And he's going to walk out and use the exploding shot pogo stick bullshit that he's known for to try and rocket up onto the rooftop. Yeah, so he makes it up there and he just grabs two of the high leaves who killed our snipers and just fucking throws them forward into the crowd. Just straight up like wrestler style, like up and forward. So they do a classic like Western pinwheeling arm flaily fall into the crowd and die. And then he goes and picks up Leanna's rifle and starts to load it. Bringing us to we did them. We've got the townsfolk. They run for the church. So as the bullets ping off the buildings, they start rapidly trying to clear their way through. Moss, the Tingly boys are turning towards you, you see Archibald himself with sort of gun raised high starting to rush your position. What do you do? Not from the front, but from the back, because he did not engage, so he's up the hill. With his honor guard, I should say. It's not just like one guy being like, I'm going to hide. Yeah. Oh, no.
Can I just try to aim all four shots at him?
So the gun is pointed forward for the ambush. He was still up the hill with remaining guys doing that. Like, I'm not getting involved.
I see.
No, definitely not. He's coming hard for you. You can still fire at the Tingly boys, though, if you want to try and reduce their numbers. It'll just open you to attack.
Shit. I think I'd rather like kind of move us closer to the church to create more of a defense, to basically shoot at anyone trying to follow people into the church so that we also have a quick retreat.
Okay.
Because we're close, right? We're close by the church, aren't we?
I believe so. That was your initial plan, yes. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so... I told you I was going to give you a devil's bargain. I'll let you bring the Gatling gun and we can spend some stress. Remember stress? It's still alive. We just don't talk about that much anymore. To say that you built in a mechanism for the fallback, which is basically like a wheeled, like a stick with a wheel on it that you installed under the Gatling gun. So basically, if people pull you back, you can continue to fire. Like you'll basically turn yourself into a turret. That said, the devil's bargain is attacks against you will have advantage because you have to spend a hot second ripping it off its mountings to do this.
Well, I think I have to because I can't let the Gatling gun be taken.
That is also very
That'll true. Be even worse. So I think right. I have to risk it.
Cool. So risk for reward. Gotcha. So then, yeah, you start getting pulled back. This will take your full action, so you can't fire this round, but okay. Falling back toward the church. Cool, 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 cool. Butthole.
Okay. Obviously, the people are all running through the buildings towards the church, so he'll follow because there's not a whole hell of a lot of point in any of that. Dudes are still out of the street. Tom, what's the deal with the spiritual hammer I got back? How did that work?
It's your old pal, the spiritual hammer, bud. It's just the spell that you always use forever.
Nice. Quick question. What level is it at? I'm assuming the basest level, because this is a little bit of a soccer world. Oh my God,
yes, please, 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 the lowest
possible. Great, because I mean, I would love to fight this mob with a spell level 6.
No, just adjust it to be nice. I gave you a nice thing. Be nice about the gift. I told you could smoke in my house. Don't fucking light a cigar, you know?
Yeah. I just light an entire pack of cigarettes and just set them out. Cool. All right, so while he's running, I think he'll look through the windows and just drop it as close to Moss, like the crowd towards Moss, just to like fuck people up if they're going to make a move on or on the leap, because it's a 60-foot range. And it'll just start swinging for the fences. People on a horse aren't expecting a giant fart explosion hammer to appear.
Truly few people are, so.
All right, so we've got that to hit. Oh, and it's a solid roll, plus a solid attack bonus. We're looking at a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do, man.
Beautiful. And now let's see what the damage is. That is 13 radiant damage from the hammer swinging into the horde.
Amazing. That is very solid. Do you say anything as this happens, or you just let it swing? I also feel like this isn't a hugely talky fight. I mean, Westerns usually degrade into just like desperate people firing as fast as they can in ugly yeah. ways.
I feel yeah. like it's one of those things where he's like, everybody keep moving. You're going to do great. Everybody's doing great. Get him. Thank you. And then it just keeps going. Like, it's just him sending Moonhammer to do a job with him. And
you just see one of the cowboys be like, get him. What do you mean get? And then his face just like crushes under the hammer. Like one of those slow motion, like KO punches in boxing where you're just like, oh, his face is moving in strange and unnatural ways.
And then I'm leading the people through the buildings in towards the church. Like that's it.
Great. Amazing. So you lead them forward and kind of like, you know, there's chaos. It's like one of those like low running things, bullets blasting out windows behind you as you duck between buildings, stepping over broken provisions in the general store. A few of the townsfolk are first through the door. You can hear the roar of Moss's Gatling gun. Up ahead, there's the sort of the head of Old Wolf Ranch, a goblin known as Quaver the Meek, mm-hmm. Who is like a, you know, generally like a, you know, cool dude. He runs role playing games for the local community, which is pretty awesome. Usually in a fantasy setting, which is delightfully ironic given what's happening. And he's like, hey, everyone, follow me, quick, into the church. And he turns and runs in the door, or at least his body does, as his brains in the back of his head fly out of the door. Butthole, past him, you see coming out of the mine a bunch of black clad sneaky boys in robes or in cloaks with hoods. The gang once known as the Brown Barrel Gang emerges from within the mines. And from the back, you just hear, hola, mostly looking for Queenie. And Gary and his gang have arrived seeking their old leader. Top of the round. Bottom of the round. We have the elves. The elves are going to do one shot at fleeing townsfolk and one shot at the gangs. They hit the gang, which is good. They kill a bunch of people. The elves just like light up nine bandits. They're angry. Angry elves. All right. Cool. So top of the round, Quinny, you know Red Reggie's on the other side of the door, you want his blood. At the very least, you could actually get that guy you thought you found in the desert. As you start to rise, trying to ignore the pain in your shoulder, your vision blurs a bit from pain, and you almost feel like the walls are shaking. You're just, you know, you're that shook up. Until you kind of catch your bearings and realize that it's not from the injuries, the wall is starting to shake. There's a slow tremor beginning to rumble throughout the town. What do you do?
One thing at a time, I guess. I've got one more shot in Jim's shotgun. Mm-hmm. So I am going to orient myself where I am going to basically run at the open doorway. It's basically running outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leap through the air and turn my back to the floor so that I am basically head first flying backwards through the doorway. And I'm just going to line up a shotgun shot with Reginald and pull the trigger.
I believe the correct or the legal term is you're going to Max Payne your way through the door, just like leap forward and then just fully twist around in midair and fire.
Or John Woo it, if you will.
Yes, very good. Yeah, there aren't any doves, but like pigeons just scatter everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a question of doves versus creepy dream sequence for whether it's a Max Payne or a John
Woo. Truly. All right, well, you click that right mouse button, sir, and you go through that door. Go ahead.
I'm so glad I switched D20s, even though that's completely like superstitious bullshit.
Is it, it's though? Working. Is it? No, bury that other one 20 feet
deep. So that's a 2, so the 23.
That'll hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Oh, yes. So that's 13 damage.
Red Reggie gets blasted back against the wall, and he just snarls at you and says, like, is that all you got? And then he looks down and realizes how much of his insides are on the wall, and he slumps to his knees and just keeps glaring at you and is like, all you got, and then face plants into the dirt, dead.
Great. I'll scramble to my feet, dropping Jim Jim's blunderbuss. I'll pick up Reginald's shotgun and I'll run back inside.
Great. There are 3 shots remaining in Reginald's shotgun.
Okay.
I'm also going to give you 1 point of inspiration for dropping Red Reggie.
Okay.
Great. Bring us to the Tingly Boys. They got to roll a morale check because Red Reggie just died. Oh, they got a nat 20. They hated that guy. This just makes them happier. So they are going to open fire. They just, a bunch of them just got dropped from the elves. So they're all going to turn on the elves, I think. So that's 2 hits. That's a bunch of dead elves. So they just start like firing up at the rooftops. Admittedly, a frenzied gang, not necessarily the most tactically sound group of people. The discipline is rapidly beginning to collapse as they just start killing in every direction, which is good for you and bad for them. Bring us to Polka. He's going to try and snipe a couple of these rooftop elves. He hits both. All right, he takes out a few. He's just like snapping off shots. The elves are turning on him though. So this is very much like, come on, blam, come on, blam. And then bullets just start peppering him. He fires one more shot off, and then his massive bulk falls through the roof of the sheriff's office, kind of collapsing the interior of the building as he hits the ground. And with his dying gasp, he just manages to one arm point the sniper rifle up. And as an elf leans over to check what's going on, he blows his head off and dies. All right, people. Next up, townsfolk. Surprise gang members. They panic. They just start screaming and running in every direction. This is a bridge too far. So they are now out of initiative order and kind of running around uselessly unless you can try and get them back on track. Moss, you have a magic floating hammer keeping you safe. Archie and his kind of like elites are riding down on you. However, you're hearing gunfire and screams coming from behind you in the church. What do you do? Also, the ground is rumbling.
Well, fuck, man. I mean, as the townspeople I'm looking after, I gotta see what else is going on. So I gotta turn my back on Archie, I guess, and get into that church.
All right, so you wheel around. Are you wheeling just yourself or also the gun?
And the gun.
Okay, so you wheel the gun around.
I mean, they're not
around.
Running away from nothing.
For sure. You wheel the Gatling gun around. Unfortunately, because the townsfolk are panicked, you can't get a clear shot at what's inside, but you can see the light of revolver fire as townsfolk are shot before your very eyes from deep inside the church. You watch 3 people go down. You can open fire, but there's no guarantee you won't hit townspeople.
I just try to yell at them, like just in desperation, like, everyone, hold your position.
All right, go ahead and roll a persuasion check.
Jesus Christ.
At disadvantage.
Freaking desperation here. Yikes. That's a 4.
Yeah, no. Telling a bunch of panicked people to hold position is kind of like telling someone who's really upset, it's not that big a deal. Maybe you should calm down. They continue to panic. And
which works every time.
Right? Yeah, they continue to panic and you can't quite get a beat on them. Butthole, you see Gary, the two-winged Akrokokra, stepping through up out of the secret tunnel, and a bunch of former, well, I mean, they're wearing the cloaks of the Brown Barrel Boys, but they are not, since most of them died. But Gary's gang begins to fight their way through. What do you do?
There's no way I can calm a crowd this big. And if I can't negotiate with them, so it's time to do some murder. And all he just says is, well, sorry, Moss, but it's hammer time. And he just like holds a hand out through the window where he can't even see and just does that thing where it's like sucking magic back in and then just recasts the hammer in front of himself, taking a swing at Gary and the boys.
Great. Go ahead and roll.
He'll fight his way through to that goddamn church if he has to. Okay, that's decent. That is a dirty 20.
Right, yep, definitely hits. And go ahead and roll your damage.
Oh, nice. That is a maximum. That is 15 damage.
Damn. These guys are a bit hardier than the other guys because they're an elite squad of murder assassins. But 15 damage still fucks up a bunch. The hammer, as you remember from your time traveling with OG Quinny, rogue types, not great when pummeled by bludgeoning objects. So literally the hammer just starts like knocking, people out of the way, and will kill, three of them.
Great. And then I think he'll just, probably like duck into cover. There's like, if he can knock somebody who's looking innocent or scared out of the line of fire into cover as well, he'll take them with him. But there's not much you can do here.
Just to get a visual of this, the people who are panicked at the mouth of the church are now spilling out around the sides, and they're basically running like back the way the gang came. So they're running north. Luckily, the gang is no longer there, so that's not the worst thing that could happen. It just means they're not as safe as if they were following plan. If that makes sense.
That does absolutely make sense. Okay, right. Then he'll duck into cover and just hope Tim Hagar is okay, because they really led that guy into a shit fest.
Yeah, you know, he's trying his best. All right, top of the round. The elves. The elves always go last now. I keep forgetting because I added them late. The elves roll garbage. So aside from killing Polka, they do not they don't pull up a beat on anyone.
Dare I ask, does Gary's gang come after the elves now?
Gary's gang is still in the church. So currently the only person that they can see, Moss with the chain gun, they can see fleeing people, and they saw you briefly, but they're just here for Quinny. They don't give a shit about the town or the other people who are fighting. They're just here for vengeance, as you do in the old West. All right. Top of the round, the earthquake intensifies. It's not quite Star Trek. The bridge got hit and everyone's stumbling, but it's getting pretty hairy. But unfortunately, on this round, one other major thing occurs. The Pew Pew Emporium explodes in a massive fireball. As out of the darkness lurches a very janky, mostly broken robotic spider. And you just hear over the loudspeakers, "Red Reggie, you and I must have words. You stole my train after all the money I've given you and your gang. As a result, I am here to bring your head in and to bathe in your very blood." Good news is, I mean, bad news, giant spider. Good news, giant spider's here to kill your enemies. Unfortunately, you might be collateral. So the giant spider enters the fray as the earth continues to tremble. Top of the round, Sheriff Quinny, you've got a shotgun. You're seeing townsfolk mowed down around you, multiple gangs converging. And in a lot of ways, they're here for you. Things are getting pretty dire here at low noon. And might be time to start thinking about some escape plans or possibly some damn fool heroics. You have a moment as you check the shotgun and kind of consider your options, where you just kind of look up at the moon, sort of standing silent vigil over the carnage in your town, the town you're supposed to protect. And the rumbling gets worse. And as you kind of like check the gun and look up, for a second the sky looks blue, which doesn't quite make sense. And then as you watch, suddenly the entire sky lights up, a bright, brilliant blue. The ground beneath you shudders as massive formations begin to burst out of the ground. And as you watch, the moon explodes as an alien sun appears. The Great Collide has come to Old West Faerun, and hell is here.
This episode of Dumb-Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler underscore Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb-Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUNBDICE. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.